Well, over the last several weeks, we've spent a lot of time and energy talking about the things that need to be done in the local church, in this organization, the duties that our members ought to pick up and do. But today we're going to go in a different direction. And I've entitled this message, God's Contribution to the Church. I spent some time putting together that picture. I want us to understand that God is behind everything that we do. You heard it this morning, that God even has a plan for the unjust. And if we go back into history, you know about Pharaoh and how he would not cooperate. And his army was destroyed. And if you go through the Old Testament, time and again, God uses evil people to punish the Israelites because they turn away. God is behind all the things that are happening in our world. And God was behind the crucifixion. And God shows up in our lives. The dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, I'm sending you the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And he's not just going to be there, but he's going to be in you. And so God contributes a lot to this church. But I think sometimes we come on Sunday morning, we sit down, and God is really the farthest from our mind. We're worried about how we got here. Most of us aren't worried about being late. That's just normal. But our mind is so many other places. And sometimes our bodies are in other places too. Because, well, quite frankly, God isn't that important sometimes. There are other things that are more important. It just shows on Sunday morning. But it's that way all the time. So today we're going to look at what God brings to the church. And we're going to start with John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came. He suffered. He was tortured. He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. That was God's plan. Oh, by the way, God planned Judas too in his role. And just because Judas did what was in God's plan doesn't mean he went to heaven. The other disciples were pretty sure that Judas went to that place, yeah, where he belonged. Jesus talked about, those that you've given me, I've got them all, except one. So just because you're part of God's plan doesn't mean you're going to heaven. But God has a plan. And that's a pretty big contribution to this church, to the church, the worldwide church. So how do we begin to understand what happened and what God brings to us? You know, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God came and he said, these are the rules I want you to live by. And he gave the Ten Commandments. That's what we go through so often. But then he didn't stop there. He said, Moses, I've got a whole bunch of other things that I want the Israelites to do. Now, a lot of different people had different religions, and many of them involved sacrifices. And God said, I want some sacrifices. So if we go to Leviticus, this gives a little bit of an explanation of why blood is shed in sacrifices. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Atonement, payment. Go back into Egypt, the last plague. God said, I'm going to come through and I'm going to send my angel and he's going to kill the firstborn in every household. And then he said, but if you kill a lamb and spread that blood on the doorposts of your house, then that angel is going to pass over. That blood doesn't do anything when it's painted on your doorposts. Killing a lamb doesn't do anything. But it's a sign. It looks forward to Jesus and his one-time sacrifice. And so the sacrificial lamb gave its life for the firstborn in each Jewish household. The blood, a symbol of life, was taken away from that lamb. And every sacrificial animal since, if it's offered to God, Almighty God, Creator, really doesn't do a thing. It's a symbol that looks forward to the one-time sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. He let his life run out. The blood is a symbol of life. At the Last Supper, Jesus said this, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Covenant means an agreement. The blood, the symbol of life, was poured out because God said, there is only one thing that can pay for the atrocity that all of you folks have done by disobeying me. God said, I created the universe. It was perfect. There was not a single blot in the whole universe. And we're still learning how big that is. Scientists keep on finding more and more galaxies. In its immensity, it was perfect. And then, right here on Earth, humans blotted that perfection. That whole universe had a blot on it, and it was no longer perfect. And the only payment that is sufficient for that is that someone who is perfect were to give himself to offset that blot. And that's what Jesus did. Listen to this explanation in Hebrews. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once means only one time. For all means that it's adequate, it's sufficient for every one of us. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. One sacrifice. Cleans us all up. Which ones? Those who are being made holy. Holy means set apart. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time," says the Lord. "I will put my laws on their hearts. I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, hear the last phrase, "Sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Where these have been forgiven. In other words, if there's no sin, you don't need a sacrifice for sin. And so what God has done is he has taken away your sin and my sin. What could be more important? What greater contribution can God give to the church, to us? If God sees you and me as sinless, then we no longer have an obligation to pay for what we've messed up. And so for us, the ones that God has set aside, made holy, God sees us as not having any sin. Wow! And so we're saved. We don't have to worry about going to hell. We don't have to worry about paying that. It's all paid. And why? Because Jesus substituted his life for ours. John 1:29. This is John the Baptist recognizing who Jesus is. John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, he understood that connection, that sacrificial lamb at the Passover. Its life, its blood was sacrificed in place of the firstborn. And so Jesus' life, Jesus' blood, was sacrificed for us. That's why we started out our service with nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're going to end with, "Are you washed in the blood?" You know, that sounds pretty gory. Almost enough to make you shudder. But when you understand what blood really means, it's life. You know, in the Old Testament, God said, "You do not eat any meat with the blood in it." The first thing you do when you kill an animal is you drain out the blood, because the blood is the life. And you don't eat the life. So God brings us perfection. He sees us, the church, as holy, set aside, set apart from the sinful people of this world, and he sees us as sinless. Listen to what Jesus said then. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now you see, when Jesus left bodily, that physical presence was no longer here. And so he said, "The Holy Spirit will live in you." And what will the Holy Spirit do? It will teach you So now, what does it take to be taught? You got to open your mind. You got to be willing to listen. And then God will say, okay, now, what have we talked about here? What have I written in my word? This is what it means. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And it also says the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Now there's a problem with that. Because if you never heard it in the first place, if you didn't read or listen to God's word, how can you remember what's in there? So that implies that each of us has an obligation to learn as much of that as we can. So that when the Spirit says, hey you, I want you to remember this, that it's there to remember. You know that little verse? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. But if you haven't hid that word there, how can you remember it? Now God's Spirit will live in those that allow it. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Oh, wow. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, if this is God's temple, God's dwelling, what am I going to do with it? How are we going to treat this dwelling that belongs to God? Are we going to put things in there that will destroy it? That will cripple it? That will make it so it doesn't operate properly? This belongs to God. Unless it doesn't. I mean, you have a choice. I have a choice. Do I belong to God or not? You know, when Adam and Eve in the garden, they were there, God said, I only have one rule for you. Don't eat of that tree. One rule. What that rule meant was, hey, you're mine or you're not. And humans chose not. God gave that choice. Now God forgives. Remember what we said? That blood washes it all away. It was sacrificed as a substitute for ours. So Adam and Eve, I believe, were forgiven. God saw them after the fact as sinless. And so in our lives, we may be destroyed what we have here. But when you make that decision, I'm not going to be my own anymore. I'm going to belong to my Father in heaven. Then the Spirit will move into this temple, regardless of what shape it's in. And he'll clean it up. And whether he decides to redecorate or not, I don't know. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. But that's up to him. Because now, it doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to him. Now there's another thing that God brings to the church. And that's you and me. Fellowship. He brings elders to reprimand us if we misbehave. He gives deacons to help us. He gives individual Christians different gifts, not for themselves, but for the person next to them. Perhaps it's support or encouragement. Or maybe just being there. When Jesus ascended into heaven, God made himself known physically through his church, us. That's why we're called the body of Christ, because we are the visible, the physical presence of God in his church. The church reminds. Some of you, if you're on the prayer list, you got a reminder this morning. The Sunday school starts at 9:30. Mark got a hold of me this morning. He said, why don't we send out a reminder? So we did. That's what we're here for, people, to help each other. And then God brings assurance. Now, all of us know people that say, oh, am I good enough to go to heaven? I don't know if I'm good enough. I need to do a few more good works. There's some religions that your good works is the only thing that gives you any chance. God doesn't work that way. Listen to this. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So let me ask you, if God says, you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I will save you, if you believe that, then you have the assurance. Whose word is better than God's word? If he said it, it's true. So if you believe, and you know whether you believe or not, that's up to you. If you believe in Jesus, he's your Lord and your Savior, then God's word is good as gold, better. You have that assurance. So if faith is this confidence and this assurance, you should never have to ask that question again. Am I good enough to go to heaven? You already know the answer. No. But God sees you as perfect, because Jesus substituted his life for yours and for mine. Now that's a major contribution to the church, don't you think? And it ought to make us think about what our contributions ought to be to the body of Christ. So let's pray together. Here we are, God. You're here. We're not always here, mentally, spiritually. Accept us, please. Work in us. Bring to our remembrance those things that you've tried to teach us. We're pretty good every Sunday morning at not remembering just a week ago. Lord, help us. Work in us. Make us your own. We're not worthy, but we do come in Jesus' name. Amen.